Fellowship Baptist Church very much. We came through here about 7 years ago, I guess, when we were on deputation. Some of you probably were here then, and if you're still here, I sure am glad. And I do appreciate, we do, my family appreciates the faithful support of the church. I know missionaries always say that, but I want you to know that I'm very aware that hardworking people give real money so that I can be in Moldova, and I do appreciate that very, very much. I do hope you'll come back tonight. If you're saying, where Moldova, where's Moldova? Well, come back tonight, and I'll tell you all about where Moldova is and what it's like and what the Lord's allowed us to do there in Moldova, and I'd love to tell you a little bit about it. But we do appreciate the church. Another thing I appreciate, your pastor told me, he said, I read your prayer letter to the people on Wednesday nights. And that means a lot to me, I'm telling you. The money, that's important, but I'm telling you, I covet your prayers. And a lot of times a missionary, they'll put a prayer letter out there and they really wonder if anybody's reading it or what's happening. And so when somebody tells me that they do read the prayer letter, it is truly, truly a blessing. Just like to read two verses this morning from James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for everything we have in your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the faithful church here, dear God. And Lord, I just thank you so much. We've got so much to be thankful for. And as has already been said this morning, Lord, we are a needy, needy people, dear God. And dear God, we need your help this morning. We need you to meet with us, dear God, and we need the Holy Spirit to do the work that only he can do. Dear God, I beg a touch from heaven this morning, dear God, and I pray that you would be pleased and glorified. I pray you would fill me. You would use me, dear God. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the thanks and the praise and the glory. And Lord, really, I'm just saying help. We need your help, Lord, and we ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we see here in these verses, we see that life is uncertain. Life is a very uncertain thing. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Talking to Brother Fox this morning, I was thinking if anybody would have told us last year in 2019 that 2020 would have been what it has been so far, would any of us believe, would we have believed it? And I'm just telling you, there are some pretty unbelievable things can come up and they can happen pretty quick. And I'm just telling you, we do not know what tomorrow will bring. And then we see that life passes quickly. The Word of God tells us, it says it is even a vapor, a vapor. I always think about that kettle on the stove and you're boiling water and that steam, you just see it for a second. Then it disappears. And I'm telling you, in the big scheme of things and in the light of eternity, that is our life right there. That is our life. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I'm going to try to preach this morning a little bit on the thought of last times. Last times. As soon as Brother Fox asked me if we could come by while we were back, I really wanted to see, make sure we could try to work that out. And I started praying about what the Lord had had me to preach. And this almost immediately, this is what came to mind. And I would tell you that there is a last time for everything in life. There comes a time when it will be the last time. And I would tell you, I would submit to you that in my experience, rarely, when it is the last time for something, do we realize during that moment that it is the last time. There was a last time that my little girl, that's my baby girl, that's my baby, there, and that there was a last time that my baby girl crawled up into my lap. Last time. And I'm sure when that was going on, I did not realize that that was going to be the very, very last time. There was, there was a friend of mine named Charlie. Charlie was a bit older than me, and Charlie, he was a Christian man, had a good testimony of salvation, and just a good guy to be around. But I'm telling you, he had hit some hard times in life, and I would tell you that being a friend to Charlie sometime was maybe a little more challenging than with other folks, but Charlie was a good guy, but I'm just telling you, Charlie called me one day, and I was at work. It was back before we went to Moldova, and I was working, and Charlie called me one day, and I was kind of busy, and you know, I wasn't really unkind to Charlie, but I really didn't spend much time with him, and I probably could have given Charlie a little more time, and a little more encouragement, and just been a little more kind to him. And I probably would have been had I realized that was the last time that I was ever going to talk to Charlie. Because the next thing I knew, Charlie had died in his sleep, and he had gone on, and there wasn't any more talking to Charlie. And I wished I would have just given him a little more that day. I'm just trying to tell you that time marches on and age creeps up and time it just keeps going on for everybody. And then just some things, that window of opportunity, it just closes. And it's not going to come around again. Just not going to come around again. The last time for everything. Amen. I would tell you that most importantly, there is a last time to prepare to meet God. Tells us over in Amos 4:12, an off-quoted portion of Scripture, prepare to meet thy God. People prepare for lots of things in life, many, many things in life. People prepare big events with much thought, preparation, and expense they will prepare for. Yet, people put off preparing for the most important moment that anyone could ever face when they are going to meet God. Stand before God totally unprepared. We have a world full of people unprepared. We even have people with possessing everything that life seemingly has to offer, yet completely unprepared to meet God. Let's take a quick look over in Luke chapter 12, a familiar story to many of you, I'm sure. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. I'll read a few verses here. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he, being Jesus, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. You know, that would be a truth. It would be real good for many, many Americans to take to heart right there, that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself. He didn't ask God anything about it. He just thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, this sounds like a lot of Americans. He's got so much stuff, he doesn't even have room for it anymore. You go, I better just keep going. He just doesn't even have enough room for it. He's got to go rent a couple more storage units so that he can shove some more stuff in there. Got so much stuff, we can't even have it all at our house. We got to keep some of it somewhere else. And then how can we even enjoy it? But that's America today. That's America. Oh, he was ready for a comfortable retirement. I've got it made. I'll just pull down these barns and I'll build some bigger ones, and then I've got it laid up for many years. He thought he had it all in front of him. I'm just going to relax. I've worked hard. I'm going to live the good life. That was his plan. He never gave a thought to God or God's plan, because God had a real different plan. Amen. God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Just like that. All of his plans, all of his work, all of his life, everything that he had laid up, it was all for naught. All for naught. "Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" I've heard it said many, many a time, you can't take it with you when you go. Heard a song one time said, "I've never seen a U-Haul pulled behind a hearse." He was prepared, but not for that night. Not for that night. Made all the preparations for this life, but he made absolutely none for the next, and God called him a fool. I would say, friend of mine, this morning, do not be a fool. Prepare to meet thy God. I would tell you that many are unprepared because they deny their need. What is the problem that causes this need for preparation to meet God? The answer is really quite simple. Sin. Sin is the problem. You know, really, we can look around the world today and there are lots of problems. We can look around America today and there's lots of problems, and we would, many people would say the problem is the unrest, or the problem is the virus, or the problem is this. And I would tell you the problem is sin. That is the biggest problem that we are faced with. But the problem for everybody is sin. Many of you could quote it as well as me: "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. None escape this problem of sin. And all have sinned because all are born sinners. Those cute little babies. They're so cute. I love babies. I'm telling you, they're little sinners, though. It's what they are. They'll scream and holler and cry and make you think that they are about to die, that they are in some sort of terrible trouble. And all they want is for you to pick them up. Little liars. Sinners, I'm just telling you, they're real cute ones. They smell good, but, well, sometimes. But they're sinners. That is our natural state. That is who we are. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. That problem is from the inside. That's why we can't fix it ourselves. I'm just trying to tell you, sin is the problem, and that is why the preparation is required, because heaven is perfect. Absolutely perfect. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more death, no more masks, no more COVID. No more riots, none of that. None of that's going to matter in that day. Perfect. But you let a sinner into heaven, then it's not perfect anymore. It's no longer heaven. So, what's the standard to get in? "For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. So it seems that that is the standard to get into heaven, the glory of God. And so many, they do not see their need for the preparation. And then I would tell you, many mistake the preparation. They think that they are preparing to meet God. Many think that by doing good works, by just being a good person, well, I don't beat my wife and I pay my bills and I work a job and I'm a good citizen. Well, all that's good, but it will not prepare you to meet God. Many think by joining some kind of group or by just being religious. And being religious can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. Baptism, church membership, giving. And I tell you, if we're not careful, sometimes as Baptists, we got just about as much religion as anybody else. Religion is a seductive thing. It'll creep in on you. Or then maybe to some, it can involve all kind of chanting or meditation or whatever. But I'm just telling you, they think that they are preparing to meet God. Some people think that if they just know enough, they study enough. Even you could know this Bible from cover to cover, and my friend, still not be prepared to meet God. The only knowledge that prepares you to meet God is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The preparation to meet God is not in anything that you can do, not in anything that I can do, but it is in what's already been done. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We in Moldova before we left to come back here on this little trip. You know, Moldova is a very, very poor country. And then even with the virus, it brought bigger hardship because the economy was closed down for a while and everything. And the Lord really laid it on my heart to try to be a help to people. And I said, Lord, you know, I want to help these people, but it's just such a big job. And so how do I help them? And I'm telling you what he told me. He said, one at a time. That's how you help them, is one at a time. And so we started delivering some groceries to some people on Saturday. I had a man that would go with me and translate for me. And so we would take them some groceries and we would witness to them and we'd leave them a Bible and some gospel tracts. But I would tell them, I don't know, there's probably rarely a time I've ever preached when I did not quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It just seems like it's so plain. But I would tell them, I say, just like this food, this is bought and it is paid for. And it is my gift. It is our gift to you. And all you have to do is accept it. That's all you have to do. But if you won't accept this gift, it won't do you any good. And I told him that is the same way with God's gift of salvation. It is bought. It is paid for. It is offered, and all you have to do is accept it. I mean, the gospel message, it is a simple thing. I really, it's amazing that religion has taken and confused it so. But Paul, he says it right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for I delivered unto you first of all. Well, let me start at verse 1. It's so good. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That, friend of mine, is the simple gospel message. Jesus Christ, he paid the price for our sins. He paid the price for the sins of the whole world. It's bought. It's paid for. It's offered. All you have to do is accept it. So the standard, said that a little while ago, the standard to get into heaven is the glory of God. So how do I get that? How do I get that glory of God? I don't think any man can work hard enough to achieve that. I would just tell you that God offers you the best deal anyone could ever make. He says, you just come to Jesus as a guilty sinner. Just come to him as a guilty sinner. Take him as your Savior, and he will give you all of his righteousness. Amen. Friend of mine, if you are sitting here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, today would be a great, great day. Amen. Great day, sinner friend. If you just take him as your Savior. Just take the gift that he's offering. Put your faith and trust in who he is and what he has done for you. Amen. It is as simple as that. Give him all of your sin, and he'll give you all of his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." He led that sinless life that you and I could never live, friend of mine. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Then you're prepared to meet God. And I'm telling you, friend of mine, you better be prepared, because you never know when that time is going to come. I tell you the urgency of it. Many are unprepared because they mistake the urgency of the preparation. They mistake how much time that they are going to spend here on this earth. They mistake how long their life is going to be. I would tell you, I've used this illustration many a time. We used to live out in the country, out in the woods in East Texas. There over in East Texas, where the trees are so thick you can't hardly walk through them. And people around here say, "Well, you can't see anything." I come up here and I think there's not anywhere to hide. But we lived out there in the woods of East Texas, out in the middle of nowhere. And there was the end of the road down there. There was an old country cemetery. And it was a pretty good sized cemetery, but it had been there a long, long time. But it was pretty down there in the trees. And it was just a beautiful day one day. And so we took the kids and my daughter and my son, we went down there and we just walked all around the cemetery and just we really had a good time just reading the headstones and all the different people. And we have some relatives down there, some kinfolk buried down there. But I told the kids when we finished, I said, "I want you to notice something." I said, "When we were walking around today and we were reading those headstones, some of those people were way on up old, you know, way on up old, way up on in their 90s. But I said, I want you to remember, kids, we saw where there were some little bitty babies buried. And we saw where there were some small children, 7, 8 years old, buried. And we saw where two brothers, two teenage boys, I still wonder this day what happened. Two teenage boys, one of them was like 13 and 14. And they died the same day. Died the same day. And I told them, I said, "Kids, I want you to remember that. You do not know how long you're going to be here. It's easy to think that I got time. But I would tell you, the devil doesn't have to get you off into deep, dark sin for you to miss heaven. He doesn't have to get you off into deep, dark sin for you to die unprepared to meet God. All he has to do is to just get you to put it off one more time. That's all he's got to do. Just put it off one more time, and he's won again. One time, my wife's grandfather, everybody called the old man Bus. It was short for Buster, I think, a nickname he had when he was a kid, but everybody called him Bus. His real name was Everett Otis, so Bus was probably better anyway. But, man, he was on up way old. How old was Bus? 92? Bus was 92. He was unsaved, and he was sick and in the hospital. And so my wife and I, we went and we visited with Bus. And I told him, near as I can remember, I told him all about John 3:16. And I told him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I tried to tell him, that means you, Bus. Bus, you know, don't you want that, Bus? Don't you want that everlasting life? And that old man, he thought a minute. I said, come on, Bus. He thought a minute, and he looked at me from that hospital bed, and he said, I've got time. 92 years old, sick and in the hospital. But I'm just telling you, friend of mine, that is how deceitful that heart is. It is deceitful and desperately wicked. So that it can convince you, I've got time. And even though he is a striking example, I can tell you, you are no more guaranteed tomorrow than Bus was laying up there sick in that hospital bed, 92 years old. You are no more guaranteed tomorrow. And I would tell you the consequences of being unprepared are beyond almost explanation, almost beyond comprehension, almost how horrible hell is. We see another rich man over in Luke chapter 16 that died unprepared to meet God, and in hell he lift up his eyes. It doesn't say he lifted up his eyes. It's not past tense. It says he lift up his eyes, because I'm telling you, friend of mine, if you could peel this back right now and look down into hell, he is still lifting up his eyes. He is still crying out for one drop of water. He is still tormented in the flames. We often sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun thinking about the glories of heaven. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thought, child of God. But let me tell you, sinner friend, when you've been there 10,000 years, screaming and crying and begging for mercy in nothing but darkness and flames and torment and pain, you've only just begun. Eternity lasts a long time. And it seems like we always think about eternity in relation to heaven. And that is a beautiful, wonderful, glorious thought. But I'm telling you, eternity lasts a long time for everybody. Amen. The consequences of being unprepared are terrible. When is it too late to prepare? Just after your last breath. And I'll tell you again, you do not know when that will be. I would tell you that there is a last time to tell somebody how to prepare. To tell them of the preparation that has been made for them. To tell them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The last time to tell them. I'll tell you another story that I wish I didn't have to tell. I grew up with a boy named Clinton Allen Evans. We grew up in a suburb of Houston, kind of a little two-street subdivision. I lived on one street and Clinton lived over on the other street. We were the same age, and we grew up together, went to school together, and ran the subdivision together and everything from the time we were about 5 years old. When Clinton got married, I was the best man in his wedding. But then life went on, and he ended up moving away, and just like I say, just circumstances. We never had a falling out or anything, and just the circumstances of life that we grew apart. And Clinton, he married a woman that was very successful. She became very successful. A high school sweetheart, but she went to law school and became very, very successful in New York City. I mean, they had it all by the standards of the world. They had the place in Manhattan. They had the house in Connecticut. So he stayed home and he took care of the kids. He had been a brilliant mind, graduated with a degree in engineering from a very prestigious university. But he decided he would just stay home and take care of the kids. And I would just tell you, friend of mine, I'm not picking on anybody and I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I just tell you, that's not God's order of things. And it's not going to work. And it's not going to make you happy. And he got into much unhappiness. And anyway, the Lord had laid on my heart. I hadn't heard anything about him in years and years. And the Lord had laid him on my heart to tell him what God had done for me. And so I called around some old mutual friends. I found out that he had hit some trouble in life and alcohol, the boredom of being at home and unfulfilled and not being the man he ought to be and not being the provider he ought to be. And so he tried to fill all that void up with alcohol, and then that wasn't enough. So then he put the pills on top of it, and he was really in a very troubled, dark spot, and he was separated from his wife. And so I even got an address from him. I was going to write him a letter. I wanted to tell him what God had done for me, because a friend of mine, I just grew up a heathen. And I was a heathen until 1989 when I got saved at 27 years old. And so that's all he had ever known was heathen Wes. And I was going to tell him what God had done for me. And so that address, it sat on my desk. And it wasn't really even a conscious thing. It just kept getting put off and getting put off and getting put off. Until one day an old friend from way back there, he called me one day, and we were visiting, and I asked him, I said, "So how's Clinton doing?" And there was just silence. And he said, "Oh, you didn't hear. Clinton killed himself last November." I'm telling you, friend of mine, there wasn't any telling him then. There was no more telling him, for God so loved the world. There was no telling him that God had taken my broken life and put it all back together again, made me a child of the King. There wasn't any telling him that. I'm telling you, there's a last time to tell people. And if you got somebody that you need to tell, don't put it off. I'd also say, if God's got something for you to do, don't put it off. Because you don't know how long you've got to get it done. And I would tell you, it may not have the eternal consequences that these other things may have, but I would tell you there is a last time to get things right with people. Whatever that might be. And you know, it doesn't even necessarily happen that they pass, that you can't tell them and get it right. Just sometimes just life happens, and then you just don't have that opportunity anymore. Whether you need to tell them the gospel, or whether you just need to tell them that you love them, or they're a blessing, or that you're sorry, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't leave a lot of unfinished business, because there is a last time to get things right with people. Things happen, and then suddenly it can be too late. It can just suddenly be too late. If the piano player would come and play something for us, I'd like to give an invitation.